There are some things which God cannot do. Because of the restriction of God's holiness. Let me repeat that. There are some things that God cannot do because of the restriction which is holiness. It's not so much that which is holiness placed on him. It is because God is a holy God, the Almighty God must operate within the scope of his holiness. The Almighty God cannot cease to be holy to grant you or me a blight. You know, we ask a blight. Bend the rule not to help me out. All the rules and all the truth that makes God an holy God places limitation on God. And the lesson this morning will be looking a little more into that. God's holiness is the quality. God's holiness is his attributes, which is most powerfully and constantly impress upon the attention of human being, upon the attention of men and women. And declare that holiness, declare to be the chief subject of rejoicing, worship, and adoration in heaven. So let me repeat that. The holiness of God is the most powerful and constant attribute of his, which throughout the Bible the Almighty God continued to impress that subject of his holiness upon man. What his revelation has also shown is that God's holiness is the chief topic or subject that calls or demand or command rejoicing in heaven, worship in heaven, and adoration in heaven. That is, almost everywhere from Genesis to Revelation, when we hear of angel worshiping, adoring God, usually the subject which comes up most often for angel to want to worship, our hearts to worship, to adore the Almighty God, it's usually the holiness of God that solicits worshiping of God in heaven. God may be merciful. But God, must be holy. That's right. I'm going to explain. So I repeat, God may be merciful. We're going to show that the Bible shows that God's mercy have some limits. We are going to go to God's word where the Almighty God withdraw his mercy. So I repeat, God may be merciful, but God must be holy. Let me go to a few passages here and that. As we go to these passages, watch here. Notice the conditionality of God's mercy. Remember, we need God's love and God's mercy. Every one of us. But you're going to notice, you have the passage in Romans, you have the passage in Exodus, you have the passage in James, you have the passage in Isaiah. Gosh, we might be able to read just one or two of these passages so that I can move on to other point. And all these four passages which I've listed is placing limitation on the mercies of God. God's mercy, yes. Look at the passage of Romans chapter 9, verse 15. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. In the meantime, another brother may turn to the passage of Exodus 33 and verse 19. Let us hear these passages. The conditionality of God's mercy. We are looking on God's holiness and God's mercy. Let us hear the passage in Romans chapter 9, verse 15.
For he saith to Moses,
But he saith to Moses,
I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
What where? I will have mercy upon those who I choose to have mercy on. That's what that passage is saying. Read it again.
I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Read on.
And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
That on whom is placing limit on God's mercy. Notice the passage did not say, I will have mercy on every person. What the passage says, I will have mercy upon those whom I choose to have mercy upon. This is showing the limits or the conditionality of God's mercy. Let us give an Old Testament passage now. That is Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee.
In fact, brother, Paul in Romans was quoting from this. That's right. What you have read in Romans chapter 9, verse 15 is taken from this passage that was written by Moses. Let us hear it.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious.
You see, here, that to whom is limiting his graciousness. I will be gracious
to whom I will be gracious,
uh-huh,
and will show mercy, on whom I will show mercy.
That's right. Let us hear one more passage in the New Testament. Let us hear James 2, verse 13. We are still looking on the conditionality and the restriction of God's mercy. No such conditionality as it relates to God's holiness. That is constant. Let us hear the passage.
For he shall have judgment without mercy that had shown no mercy.
Somebody didn't hear that. You shall have judgment
without mercy.
Without mercy.
That had shown no mercy.
That have shown no mercy.
And mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Mercy rejoice against judgment. Watch here now. As I've said, from these two or three passages, we notice some degree of limitation or conditionality as it relates to the mercy of God. There is no such conditionality with the holiness of God. In God's dealings, God's holiness conditions and limits the exercise of all of God's other attributes. Brother, explain that. Thank you for asking. But let me repeat what I have just said to make sure we get it. That in God's dealing with man and in all of God's dealing, God's holiness, that quality, that attribute of God being a holy God, God's holiness, that's what conditions are, that is what operate and at the same time limits the exercise of all of God's other quality. Let me tell further, explain. God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's judgment, God's wrath, God's power, all of those are controlled, regulated by the holiness of God. I hope we can cover that today. In the last part of this lesson, I'm not sure we'll get to it, I'll be giving about four or five cases or six cases where God's holiness and God's mercy where demand was made on God's mercy. Human being needed God's mercy. But where the holiness of God override the demand that was made on God's mercy. You see, it's important that we understand that. Why? Because there are too many men and women feeling they can run to God's mercy at the last moment after they have thrown away thousands of opportunities to respond to him. So in the last part of this lesson, you don't hear it today, you hear it. We will be looking case by case on where God's mercy and God's holiness demand made on them, and which one had the precedence. Because God is holy, because He is a holy God, God cannot save man, men and women, just any and any way. Because He's a holy God. You know, I used a term early on about you asking God to give you a blight. You go somewhere where a friend of yours work, and the rule said you should have been there 1 hour before that appointment, or else you won't get attention. You reach 30 minutes after, but it's a friend who's going to decide. So the friend read the law or state the condition to you, and he said, John, give me a blight, no? Or Sarah, give me a blight. And Sarah or John did give you a blight. God cannot give up. Wait, sorry. It's not that God cannot give us blight, but that blight have to come within the ambit of the holiness of God. That's right. That business of God being an holy God places limitation on the awesome God. And this is why I said that the title of the sermon is God Cannot. That's right. But Brother Mitchell, that He's God. Yes. But that attribute, Him or He being an holy God. God's holiness is the regulating attribute of God's being. That's. When we hear all the thing about there are natural attributes that is tied to God, omnipotent, omniscient, and all of these, those are natural attributes. And there are those spiritual or moral attributes, love, grace, kindness, goodness, mercy. May I? All of those attributes, both the natural and this, the moral attributes, they are all regulated by the holiness of God. Which means, because, wait, watch here. Don't separate God's attribute from God. It's not like mercy and holiness are fighting in God. They create a tug of war inside. No, the Almighty God operate on perfect unison. There's no tug of war. Wait, there are tug of war in you and me. There are a lot of times, there's something you want to do, but there are some restraint. Places you want to go. In fact, I have a sermon. I must revisit that sermon shared here some probably 15, 20 years ago. Man being a walking civil war. A passage there in Romans, Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do it. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. You know, that's walking civil war. And at some point, and under certain situation, different things make demand on us that something is saying, you need to do that. But something else is saying, you can't do that. You need to do this. The Almighty God does not suffer from being a walking civil war. That is a tug of war going on inside of God as it relates to his different qualities. No, sir. The Almighty God operates at perfect ease and comfort in whatever he does. So I repeat that God's holiness is the regulating attribute of God's being. So I repeat again, because he's a holy God, don't ever expect the Almighty God to save you the way you want to be saved. That's impossible. That is against God's holiness. Wait. When I tell you that God says you must be baptized to have the blood of Jesus Christ deal with your sin. And you say, Mr. Bichel, me know me can't be saved without going in any water. Jesus Christ died for me. Where water have to do with it? You know, some foolish people argue just like that. I feel sorry for them when they argue and reason like that. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't put the water in the plan. God did. We didn't tell the world to make the water symbolize Jesus' grave. And that the same way Christ was buried in the grave, sinner of all walks of life must be buried in the water. We didn't create that. God placed that there. So you cannot go telling God how you are to be saved. You and I have no right. In fact, it's a total nonsense and lack of sense when you or I decide we want to be saved the way we want. You know why that it is impossible? The holiness of God. Because God is holy, God's holiness forbids sinners. God's holiness forbids sinner dictating to God in respect to how sin must be dealt with. Sin hurts God. Sin is offense against the Almighty God. Only the Almighty God could come up with a remedy to deal with sin. Don't expect any blight from God. And don't expect the Almighty God to attempt to save you your way. What you need to do each day, I mean every day, is find out what the will of God is as is revealed in the gospel and submit yourself to it. In fact, if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. You can do that before you leave here. We will assist. In fact, that's why we have worship service like this. That's why we have message like this. That's why we come out like this and we come into your home, knock at your door, to help you become Christian the Bible's way. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen? All of us, we are going to be saved Christ's way or not saved at all. Watch here. In fact, we may have to close on this point, but get it. Let us look at a few passages that we may close on. I want you to notice something in these passages. I've just made a statement that because God is holy, God cannot save men and women, just any way. Look now on these passages as they are read. Notice the sameness and the compatibility that exists between God, that is God's holy nature, and God's holy will. I said the compatibility . Notice the sameness and the compatibility between God's nature and God's will. God's nature, this includes God's attribute and God's will. That's important because what I'm about to show or what you'll see comes out is the same way that God, there is no variableness in God. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? That means God doesn't change. You're going to see that same quality in God's will. Meaning there will be no adjustment in God's will. There will be no alteration in God's will. There will be no reducing the demand of God's will. Let us look on God's nature. Let us look at the passage of James chapter 1 verse 17 and Romans 11 29. We are looking on the sameness and the compatibility. Let us hear it. James 1, verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights.
Notice now, from the Father of light, that is the Almighty God. Uh-huh.
With whom is
whom
is no variableness.
There is no what?
No variableness.
Everybody got that? There is no variation in God. That's God's nature. You don't have to fret that. Last week when I went to God, God promised me this, but you know, God changed so much that when we go to him this week, we don't know what him all come with. No, you don't have to go to God. The Bible here, the concept here is that God is constant. There is no variableness. There is no change in God. Wait. The passage we're going to read. God doesn't have regrets. But Brother Mitchell, I read the Bible where God repented. Yes. But repentance there for God does not have the same meaning as repentance for man. Sorry, we don't have time to deal with that, but you can ask question on it. Yeah. Yes. So what I'm saying, the Almighty God doesn't make a decision and say, you know, that was a wrong decision. God doesn't. But Brother Mitchell, didn't God in the case when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah say, I'm sorry, in make man? You see, I'm bringing up this passage that you might be thinking about. And you might be saying, well, God is acknowledging that he... No, God doesn't make mistakes. That's right. No variableness. In whom there is no variableness. God does not change. He's constant. Thanks be to God for that constantness. But that was James chapter 1 verse 7, Romans chapter 11, 29.
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Somebody didn't hear that, Chad.
For the gifts...
The gift...
And calling of God...
And the calling of God...
Are without repentance.
Everybody get that? What God promised, God not going to change. Human being can promise you something, and when next month come for you, for that person to deliver, they change their mind. This passage is saying God is not like that. When God made promise, it's going to remain. Of course, if that promise comes with condition, then you have to take into consideration the conditions. His gift and his promise are without. What, brother?
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
God doesn't have to repent. Look at Numbers 23. Verse 17-20. That was the passage read this morning.
And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken?
Yeah, Balaam and Balak. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And he enticed Balaam with money, things. And Balaam was enticed and decided to go and consult God again. The Almighty God had already spoken to him and told him, don't curse my people Israel. That was final for God. But Balaam want the reward, the money. He tell them to wait overnight. Let me go and talk to God again, see if God changes his mind. He doesn't realize that when God make a decision, it stay put. So it was now the answer they came back for. Did God give you the permission to curse Israel? So what the question asks, Chad?
What hath the Lord spoken?
What has God spoken? Has he changed his mind? Read on, brother.
And he took up his parable.
Yes, that is Balaam. He took up his parable.
And said,
uh-huh.
Rise up.
Rise up.
And hear.
And hear.
Hearken unto me.
Hearken, listen to me.
Thou son of Zippor.
Uh-huh.
God is not a man.
Take time with me, dear brother. We are closing. Because a lot of time we forget that God is not a man. And Balaam and Balak, it seems that both of them needed this knowledge. And God wants us, that's what this lesson is about. May I? Again, let me, ladies and gentlemen, for us Christians, in my years in the church, I've seen sometimes when men and women want to have their own way. They don't want to submit to the gospel. They want to call themselves Christian, yet no commitment to Christ. So they want the rules to be bent. Let us grow so that we can respect God and his word. The Almighty God is not going to reduce the demand that is made upon us as Christians. And you as a man or a woman who is not a Christian, the Almighty God has a plan of salvation to save you. He's not going to change it. You may find a million churches to tell you to become a Christian your way. But the one way by which you will be judged is God's way. What he said there, brother?
God is not a man.
God is not a man.
That he should lie.
That he should lie.
Neither the son of man.
He is not the son of man.
That he should repent.
You get the point there? The Almighty God doesn't have to regret and sorry or take step to reduce, to recall, or to adjust any of his condition, because that would represent repentance. Any more in the passage?
Hath he said, and shall he not do it?
Wait, what he said, what the?
Hath he said?
Has he said?
And shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
You all hear that? When God speak, it will be. That's it. And that is especially relevant to us understanding the gospel and the condition that are set for our salvation. Wait. If the Almighty God said down how we are to worship God. Oh Lord. Those who are here, well, some Christians, don't ever seek worship that provide entertainment for you. Simple statement, yes. But you see, going, engaging in religious song and all of that for your entertainment is a completely different thing from engaging in religious service to worship God. When it is done to worship God, you follow Christ's dictates. You ever notice how so many of the religious songs today, choruses, they put together with the reggae beat? They are sung with the reggae beat for people to rock their body. And you know what? There are many men and women think that's worship. That's not worship, that's entertainment. You know what? Let me see. Wait, it's only two passages we read, or three of them. Well, there are some more, but let me just close with that. When the passage, you have one more verse in Numbers. What verse you stop?
19.
You read that already? Okay, well, stop there, brother. When it talks about no repentance, it means that God has no regret or will have no regret. It means there will be no change, no adjustment in whatever God demands of us. So we must not attempt to make things our way, to give things our interpretation. The Almighty God will not adjust himself and his will to please us. Why? Because he is a holy God. When we pick up on the last part of this lesson next week, I will have some more to say about God's holiness. But it is in that aspect of the lesson we are going to look on some 4 to 6 instances where the holiness of God came up against man seeking mercy, and which of those won out? Was it mercy or the holiness of God? Quite interesting and quite enlightening. Don't miss the lesson for next week, because it may help you to understand that you cannot strive to take this advantage of God's grace and mercy. It may not serve your purpose. Utilize God's mercy, God's love, God's grace now. But at the same time, also respect the holiness of God. The Bible says, because I am holy, be holy also. That's what God says in his appeal to his people. Are you here today and you'd like for God to make you holy? Because you cannot do it on your own. You need God's help, God's assistance. You can step forward, come forward to give your life to Jesus Christ, to form an alliance with Christ, to give Jesus Christ the chance to address your sin problem. We're going to stand and sing a song that is sung to the glory and the honor of Christ's name. While this song is sung, it's a good time for you to step forward if you want Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. You see, you have to make that decision. You have to willingly want to serve God, live close to him. There's no better time to make that decision than now, and we're here to help you. As we sing, Christ in grace, in love, in mercy, but also in holiness, is saying to you, come unto me, as we stand.